So God's going to be fast and furious, so you better get a hold of it. You don't want to miss what the Lord has for you this morning. Acts chapter 3. Everybody say Acts 3. One of my favorite portions of scripture in the Old Testament. I mean New Testament, sorry. Ooh. Hallelujah. Somebody shout. Can somebody give the Lord a shout this morning? I know people say, Pastor R, why do you have people get all emotional for? You're never going to worship God and leave emotions out of it, my friend. It's not determined by your emotions, but I'll tell you this. God created emotions. He created tears. He created laughter. Do you know God laughs? God is also sorrowful at times. But God created all those emotions. And they're there for a powerful reason. God put them in us. He put them in us so that we could use them in our interaction with this holy God. Because He's a real God. We're real people. We have real emotions. So today, I'm going to share with you, and I'm going to ask some people. We're going to do some sort of like spontaneous drama. Okay, good drama. So I'm going to be borrowing some people in a minute, so that's all right. I don't want anybody to leave the building. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come back to you and say, come up here and do something, okay? But I will ask some people that I believe will be about it to help me out this morning, okay? So, don't leave. Don't leave me. You say, I'm not going to leave you, Pastor R. How many knows there's more one way to leave me? So, I'm going to ask you, whatever is on your cell phone, guess what? It's not more important than God. Unless you are, you know, you've got a Bible app on. That's okay. But don't do a little of that Facebooking and texting on the side. If the Lord's trying to tell me something and I'd be trying to be distracted, man, that would not be cool, okay? And the Lord is trying to tell us something. He is telling us something. He's telling us something all the time. But I'm going to share with you about an individual. And the reason why I feel like God wants us to share this is the Lord spoke to my heart a couple weeks ago. I thought I might share this last week, but the Lord had did something else different. But we went to visit a lady in the hospital at Lonesome Pine. And this lady was a precious old lady, Sister Poole. And she was down in Lonesome Pine Hospital, and her son was down there also. And as we walked into her room, another brother and I, Rick and I think, we walked into this room where she was, and she was laying in the bed, and she was despondent and seemingly in despair. And we walked up to her and looked at her, and she looked at us, and we began to tell why we were there. You know, so people just walk in your room, you're going to wonder, whoa, what do they want? Okay, so we walked into the room. As we walked in the room, we started talking to her that we were there to pray, and we started naming somebody she knew, her daughter, and so we just started engaging her there in conversation about the Lord. And suddenly, as we began to talk about the Lord and share the Lord with her, something began to change. And she looked at us and she said, you know what, I woke up this morning expecting something to happen today. I was waiting on something to happen today. And before we left that room, we shared Christ with her. And she'd served the Lord years ago, but she had disengaged her faith, and just her faith was not active, and she wasn't actively serving the Lord. And wasn't that she didn't love Jesus, but she was just in a dark place, a very despairing place. But before we left that day, her son, myself, Brother Rick, and herself, we all prayed, and she recommitted and rededicated her life to Christ. You know why? Because that day, she was waiting on something to happen. She came expecting. She came expecting. She came expecting. And you know, as you turn to Acts chapter 3, and we're going to look at a few verses here, okay? But there's something that Kathy put on my heart. Actually, she put it in my heart. She's talked on this before. My precious wife, my precious little wife, I don't deserve her. I've never done anything to deserve her. But, you know, God is gracious. Amen? Let me say this. She said this one time. She said, the battle for faith is won or lost in the arena of expectancy. What are you expecting today? Well, I'm expecting to have to get up and go to work in the morning. Sure you are. Everybody lives with some element of expectancy. Some of us may not be looking forward to that, but that's a fact of life, okay? Some of us are expecting to, you know, have to pay our bills. Some of us are expecting to have to do something else this week. But we all live in a natural arena of expectancy. But the battle for faith is won or lost in the arena of expectancy. With God, expectancy overrides reason and logic. You see, there's no way that you can explain the miraculous of God. If you could explain it, it wouldn't be miraculous. It has nothing to do with you other than we believe and expect God to do and intervene in our life. The fact is, God does this all the time. God does this all the time. When Brianna and Clay found out that she was pregnant, and as she went on in her pregnancy, she found out there was complications with the baby. Immediately they began to tell her to abort the baby. But God began to pour something into them. Something began to rise up in them and say, this could be different. So they started expecting. They started that journey in those months to believe and expect God to do something. At first, it was all bad news. At first, it was all bad news, all wrong news. These are all the reasons you should abort this child. But they kept hanging on to faith. They kept hanging on to God. They kept trusting God. Listen, they kept believing. And every time they went back to the doctor, a little something changed. Something was different than was before. Something was more positive in the make or in the fix than was before. They kept expecting and believing God. Then finally the doctors begin to tell them, well, you know, it may not be as bad as we thought. She could live a little while out of the womb. But in her situation, you know, the prognosis is bad, but she could. They kept believing, expecting. They kept going back. Every time they went back to the doctors, the report got better. And it got better. They began to go back, and the doctors began to say, well, you know, that God set up a Christian doctor, a Christian believer, that was helping them in their case. And this doctor began to engage them also about faith and saying that all things are possible with God. We don't know how this is going to be, but we know that God can help and God can intervene. And you know what? All through the journey, God showed himself faithful and he showed himself mighty in behalf of this precious young couple that was hanging on to their faith and believing God. To finally the report come back as they progressed in the pregnancy. Yes, I believe there's more hope for this child. I believe that this is not as bad as we thought. Don't you just love it when doctors say that? It's not as bad as we thought. Some of you sat here in this room right now. You're sitting here only because God's hand reached down to you and He did something amazing in your life. So I'm going to get excited this morning. I'm going to raise my voice a little bit. I'm not mad at anybody. That's not why I raise my voice. I raise my voice. They raise their voice in the ball game and nobody thinks anybody's mad. They just get into it. I'm excited about this God that I serve. I believe. Rick, I believe. I believe, brother. I believe. Somebody shout, I believe. So today, God wants somebody just to believe Him. Somebody just to believe Him. Somebody to know that He's bigger than you are. Guess what, friend? He's bigger than you are. So think about this. So finally they came back and the report was, well, the child could live for days. There isn't a possibility that maybe you could even take the child home. So they went with that kind of expectancy. They met with all kinds of resistance, with the doubts, the doubters and the naysayers. You know, but they kept expecting. They kept expecting. So if you look at the reports, I saw the images. I saw the images of this baby. There's nowhere logically, there's no way logically you can explain why this child is living today. Only God could be doing what He's doing. This child, yes, it still has complications. Still has some fluid water there on the brain. But this child has a beautiful countenance, beautiful little face. Her eyes are in the right place. Her nose in the right place. She can breathe. She can talk. Not talk yet, but she's going to. Because you know what she's going to do? She's going to live and declare the works of the Lord. Amen. You're going to live and declare the works of the Lord. That's why God's doing something in your life. So, she can hear. They don't really know about her seeing yet, but she can hear. She's got natural responses and actions. She can drink from the bottle. She can suck from the bottle. She can do all these things that doctors said she couldn't do. I love it when God rises up on the occasion and does things that amaze the doctors. And when the doctor says, there's no way we can explain this, we just know that it's happening. I love it when God puts His autograph on something and says, by my hand, I have done this. So that loses out all logical understanding. Only God can do what He does. He's amazing, friend. This God's amazing. So Acts chapter 3. I've got things falling on all over the place up here. That woman woke up, said, I'm waiting on something. I've been waiting on something all day. Some of you in this room have been waiting on something a long time in your life. You've been waiting on your breakthrough. You've been waiting on your miracle. You've been waiting on your help. You've been waiting for something to happen. And you know what? You're at the crossroads of that powerful, miraculous thing happening in your life. And if you don't care, stand with me if you're able. Yeah, listen, this is not a religious thing. If you can't, just don't stand, okay? That's all right. That's okay. God's not going to get mad at you, all right? If you can't, you can't. All right, Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now, Peter and John. Kathy, I need a Peter and John here in a second. Peter and John. I need Peter and John. I said, I need Peter and John. Wake up, Peter and John. Go back to the back, please. Go back there to the back. Go back there where Rock and Rick Hamilton is. And Will Lester and Robbie and Zella is. So Peter and John, everybody say Peter and John. These are two key figures in God's Word, okay? John was the apostle of love. Peter was the apostle that Jesus built, said, on Peter, on this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Peter was bold like a lion, but he failed God. And there's a reason why God used Peter and John. So Peter and John went up to the, I like this, they went up together. Everybody say together. God's all about the together. He's all about the get. These guys didn't go up doing their own thing. They went up together. When we are in one mind, in one accord, powerful things can happen. When we all desiring the same thing, when we're all expecting the same thing, when we're all believing the same thing, when we're all loving the same thing. I didn't say you have to be alike. I didn't say you have to look alike. You have to act alike or anything like that. But I said they were together when they went up to the temple. They went up to the temple together. Everybody shout together. Together. There's where God commands the blessing. And listen, Psalms 133. How blessed, how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment that fell upon the head of Aaron, and it flowed down into his beard. It flowed down into his garments, his outer garments, and down beneath. Listen. There's where the Lord says, there is where I am going to bless, when people are together. In the book of Acts chapter 2, they were all of one mind in one accord. They were together in that upper room. And when Jesus sent back the promise of the Holy Ghost after he had already ascended, he said, tarry into Jerusalem. And one of the powerful characteristics of that meeting that day in the upper room is they tarried in Jerusalem for that length of time. The Bible says they were all together in one mind and one accord. How many knows when people get together, powerful things can happen when we get it together? Just sit down. They were together. They were together. They were together. They were together. When we come here this morning, we've got to come together. Do you understand that? God moves when people get together. In the book of Matthew chapter 17, he says, when you gather together in my name, as many as two or three who gather together in my name, guess what? I'm right there in the middle of the party. I'm right there in the midst. When people come together in his name. See, they went up to the temple together. They went up together. So everybody shout together. Listen, we got to get it together. We got to get together. Listen, you can't expect God to move when everybody's wanting to do something different. My grandpa was a farmer. Can I tell you a farmer story? And he plowed with mules. And the mules plowed together. Sometimes he didn't always use two. But you used two back years ago. And then he put them together. And you know what? He would plow all day long when those mules were together. But when those mules were contrary to each other, you never got the job done. You couldn't do like you could do when you get together. You know, last week in this place, the power of Jesus was a dynamo bouncing off walls and ceilings all over this place. You know why? Because people were together. Amen. God wants to move in your life. He can't move in your family if you're not together. He can't move in your work if you're not together. He can't move in your personal life if you're not together. Because the devil liked for us not to be together. He liked for us all to be doing something different, doing our own agenda, doing our own thing. But we all got to be together doing God's thing. Everybody say God's thing. Lord Jesus, I know you're with me. I'm receiving what Willow prophesied or looked over my life and saying, Granddad, cool, Jesus is on your shoulder. And I believe that this morning because God has a powerful word for you. Everybody say, this word's for me. So right now, let's settle something right now. And I'm not going to be long, but I want you to settle something. I don't want you to sit there in this crowd and start thinking, who is he preaching to? Beg your pardon. I am. The Lord is preaching to you. Amen. Not your neighbor, not your brother, not your sister. So quit looking around and saying, well, now who is he preaching to? The Lord is preaching to you. Because he has a powerful word for you. They went up to the temple together. Everybody shout together. And it was the hour of prayer. It was the ninth hour. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It wasn't the sacrificial. It wasn't the time of sacrifices. They went up the time of prayer. And the traditional Jews, they prayed 3 times a day. They went to the temple 3 times to pray. There was also a time of sacrifice that they made the morning and the evening sacrifice. But this wasn't that time. This was the time of prayer. So it was about 3 o'clock. Guess what happened at 3 o'clock from a cross on a hill called Calvary? Guess what happened on a cross? Oh, guess what happened on the cross at 3 o'clock in the evening? Guess what happened on the cross at 3 o'clock? It was a time of regular prayer, but there was something happening on that cross that wasn't normal. There was something happening on that cross that was supernatural. Yes, it was about the natural, but it was about the supernatural. And from that cross at 3 o'clock in the evening, you know what Jesus cried out? It is finished. He is the author. He is the finisher of your faith. Only Jesus can say that. God wants to do a work in your life. He hasn't given up. He's not going to give up until he's finished that work. It is God that worketh in you both to will and do his good pleasure. Know that. And he'll be faithful to complete that work until the day that Jesus splits the sky and he comes and he takes the bride with him. Listen, God is going to do an amazing thing here today. God's going to do an amazing thing, and somebody needs an amazing touch from God. Are you with me, Roy? Yes, sir. You're one of my biggest cheerleaders, brother. And it was only the ninth hour. Okay, everybody still in the word with me. And a certain man, there was a lame man. I need a lame man, Kathy. A certain man was lame up here. You're lame, Kevin. That means you can't walk a bit, brother. You've been lame since your birth. You've been lame. You've never been able to walk. Every day, somebody had to carry you. Somebody had to carry you to this same spot every day. And there were other impotent lame people also. There were other impotent lame people also. I'm freaking Kathy out right there. She's scrambling. There were other impotent and lame people right there on this porch. It was called Rick Solomon's porch. And it was at the temple. Why did these lame people come to the temple? Why did they come to the temple? Hear me, listen. There are people moving right now, but it's important that you listen to me. Okay, and important that you listen to the Lord, not just my conversation. But listen to what the Lord is saying. There are other lame people, and they laid at a porch outside the temple called Solomon's Porch. It was a beautiful place. It was a porch, and there was pillars that reached up, and it was just a beautiful place. The temple was a beautiful place. And they laid outside the gate. And they were there because it was a place where most traffic went in and out on the day of worship. They were there because they needed something. They were there because they needed money. They were there because they needed finances. They were there because they needed bread on the table. They were there waiting for something all day long. And they were waiting here at this porch, outside this gate, which was called the gate called Beautiful. Outside this gate, there were lame people laying around begging for alms. And according to Deuteronomy, this was nothing uncommon. In fact, it was traditional. It was by law that the Jewish people, listen, honored that. And they would give alms because it was in their custom, in their religion, to help people who were poor. They were there because they needed something. They were there because they needed something. Some of you all came in this building this morning because you needed something. Listen, Breon and Clay went through 9 months. They knew they needed something. Sister Betty kept going back for cancer treatment. She kept going back to the doctor because she needed something. That lady right here sat beside her, only God. If it had not been for the hand of the Lord, this young lady right here wouldn't have been here. Because only God could have done what he did in her life. If you don't believe in miracles, right there is one sitting right there. There's two sitting right beside each other. How many miracles are sitting in this room right now? How many people are in this room and you know only the Lord, only Jesus could have done in your life what he's done in your life? But every day they brought him and they laid him on this porch and they just sit there waiting for somebody to reach out to him. You know what? Every day I get up, I meet people who are waiting for somebody just to reach out to them. They're everywhere. Guess where they're at? Let me tell you where they're at. They're in your office. They're in your school. They're in the grocery store. Guess what? They're even in Walmart. Listen, they're everywhere. Everywhere you go, there are people who are waiting for God to do something. Sometimes they don't even know God. They don't even know what they're waiting for. But they're waiting on something to change in their life. There are people here today. You've come to this room. You've come to this place of worship. And you are waiting. You need something. You need something. This man was lame. And he was lame from his mother's womb. He was born lame. Lame. That means the inability for you to move a limb or a part of your body in the way that it was created, the way that it was intended to move or operate. Do you understand what lame is? Lame is the inability to be able to move your body, be able to move your limbs or your legs. Be able to move your legs or your limbs or your weight, Regan. Listen, move your legs and your limbs. People are lame, can't move their legs and limbs. People, there are some people that don't have arms. They don't have legs and limbs. Somebody told me the other day about that powerful preacher, speaker on, I don't know where he preaches from, but he preaches without arms. Have you ever heard him preach? There's a man that didn't allow his lameness, his being crippled, to hinder him from walking in the plan and the purpose of God. But there are people waiting for God to move in their life. There are people here today. But let me encourage you and start expecting God to do something in your life. If you do the same thing the same way and you expect different results, that's called crazy. But it's time for you to start believing that this day can be different. 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 Do you believe that? Are you with me? Are we together? Don't get scared. I'm going to get up here. I'm not going to jump on anybody. I like to see who I'm preaching to. And when you get old like this old eagle, sometimes your sight's not like it is. I like people when we talk to engage when we talk. This man was lame, and he had no way to get there unless somebody would have taken him. Guess what we're getting ready to do? The other day, we went down this community. We went to visit Bobby. Where's Bobby? Bobby. Bobby, why are you sitting all the way back there? Listen, we went to visit Bobby's mother-in-law. We went to see his father-in-law and Mark. We went down there to see him, and just so happened Mark wasn't there. He went somewhere to a doctor or something. But the woman that came to the, was his grandmother-in-law, came to the door and said, "Listen, Mark's not here, but there is somebody here that needs something from the Lord." So she took us in the room where he was, and there he was, laying in a bed, a hospital bed. The man was an amputee. He had no legs. In fact, his legs, he just had stumps. That's all he had. He had no legs. He had no legs at all. They were all the way as far as they could go up. He had no legs because he had been frostbitten about 7 years ago. He didn't have electricity in his home, but he went a period of time, and his body become frostbitten, his legs. And so they had to end up amputating both legs. His name's Alvin. Most of you may have known him. He worked in the town of Wise. He worked in the town of Wise for a long time. And I thought Alvin was dead. I thought he was gone. Never did see him. Haven't heard from him in a long time. But you know what? He was there just waiting that day for something to happen. He was waiting in that room. And listen, Roy, when I walked in that room, there was an expectancy that filled the atmosphere. Rick, you know what I'm talking about. There was an expectancy that filled the atmosphere. Listen, when people come together, everybody shout together, and we all are expecting, then miraculous things will. Everybody shout will. Not a chance, not a slim chance, not a minute chance. They will. Every day I get up expecting a miracle in my life. And every day, whether I'm at the gas station, whether I'm at school, wherever I am, I see people every day that's waiting on God. And they don't even know sometimes they are waiting on Him. And they're lame. People are lame. They're not walking in the purpose of God. They're not living out their destiny, their purpose. They have given up. They've lost hope. They're dejected, they're despondent, they're in despair, they're depressed. People, that's why people, there are more suicides today committed, because people lose their hope. There are people today that need hope. Guess what? You've got the hope to give them. Did you hear me? Hey, Will, is this thing working right? Is it okay? You got a thumbs up. Listen. How many know there was a day in your life you needed hope? Come on, somebody get real. And you were lame at the gate. You were lame. You had no way in your own strength. You couldn't make it on your own. I know some of you think you got it figured out. You can do it on your own. But let me tell you something. You got a crude awakening coming. Because you can't do anything without the Lord. Even those that don't love Him, those that don't serve Him, those that don't worship Him, still, listen, God gives you the strength every day. Listen, God gives you the strength. Listen, you may be using that strength to go to the bars. You may be using that strength to party. You may be using that strength. But it doesn't change the fact that God give it to you, and God loves you, and God's got so much more for you. God's got so much more for you. God's got so much more for you. So that he was lame. He had no way in his own strength to do what he needed to do. He wasn't living or fulfilling the purpose and plan that God had for his life. And every day he had to sit outside a religious gathering. We meet people all the time who've been ostracized by religion. I talk to them all the time. I talk to people all the time that religion has let them down. Religion has disappointed them. Well, that person or that church or this or that. Listen, we can't please everybody. That's not what a ministry's been called to do, is make everybody happy. But there are people who have been disillusioned because all of the fake and phoniness of religion. And I say that with boldness, because God is about relationship. He's not about you getting religion. He's not about you becoming religious. He's about you having a relationship and walking in the destiny and purpose of God. Somebody with me? So lame at the gate. You know what Jesus did when he died on the cross? He opened the gate. He opened the gate. When he said it is finished, you know what he did? He opened the gate. He opened the gate. Jesus' death. Listen, took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And he opened the gate. He accessed us into the presence of God. He gave us the right through the sacrifice of Jesus to come boldly before the throne. We have access. We can come and worship together. We can come and serve and worship this living God. We can gather together and in the Spirit of the Lord like we have today and worship this great God. That is because God did something. He removed the wall, the barrier between us and Him. You see, today, if I was still waiting, lame at the gate, I'd still be at the gate and I wouldn't get in, because there are people really don't want me in. There are people that don't want you in. There are people don't want you in. There are people that don't want you to find what God wants you to find. There are people that want to manipulate and control it, don't want you to find, don't want you to encounter this real God. But I'm saying Jesus died, and Paul said he, on his death, removed the middle wall of partition between us. He gave us access. So this man who was lame at the gate had no way to get inside and worship like the others. He was just there waiting and hoping all day for somebody to fill his cup with alms. So Kevin, every day, I don't know, every day, sit and beg alms, 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 alms for the poor, alms for the poor. Every day he would lay at the same gate. Every time he would lay at the same gate, but nothing changed until Jesus came by that day. Then Peter and John came to at the hour prayer. Peter and John. Where's Peter and John? They're going to sleep on me. Peter and John. Peter and John came up at the hour prayer. And they was having their conversation, Brian. They were talking as they were going. Maybe talking about what God had done already. Talking about their experiences. Talking and having powerful conversation. How many knows what I'm talking about? How many talk about the Lord a lot? How many talk about the Lord a lot? You know what? If you did, your life would be better. Amen? They came to the temple at the hour of prayer, and they came. And they saw this man. Stay with me, please. Somebody's going to receive something from the Lord today. I know it. I know it. The Lord said somebody's going to receive something from the Lord. But they came and they saw this man. They came and they saw this man who was lame, who had no way. He wasn't living and walking in the purpose of God. Oh, Grant. These are your friends right here, right? Listen, this precious family, wow, Jesus is all over this family. Jesus is all over this family. But Grant reached out to him, and he reached out to Grant and invited him to God's deal. And And guess what these men of God see him begin to do? They begin to pour hope into him and said, this day can be different. This can be different in your life. Maybe they have been there before in their life. Maybe they have been at the place where they knew the Lord in their life, but they had lost hope. They had lost connection and they lost hope. And they needed a miracle in their life. He came that day. Grant said he reached out to him, just like it's going to be happening here right now. He reached out to him and said, listen, God loves you. I don't know the conversation you had, but you reached out to him. And listen, he accepted, he received that invitation. And that day he come to God's gym. They began to talk. When I met him up at God's gym that day, man, I saw a million-dollar smile. I saw hope begin to come alive in this young man. I'd never known him. I've never known him before. But I saw something on his face. Hope began to come alive as people reached out to him. He began to visualize, this could be different in my life. This could be different. Everybody say, this could be different. This day is different. Everybody say, this day is different. Because God's ready to meet you at your point of faith here today. If you believe him. If you believe him. If you believe him. So, you got to get a hold of this. You got to get a hold of this. You got to get a hold of this. This family is here last Sunday morning. I think last Sunday morning, this couple came. And all this whole family came as hope become alive. As the Lord reached out to them. As they were in their lameness, laying there, and they had no way. And Grant began to reach out to them. And as Grant began to reach out to them, the Lord reached out to them. And that Sunday morning, they came. This whole family came to an altar of prayer. And they made a step of faith. And they haven't looked back. They made a step of faith. And they haven't looked back. Temple. Lord, help me because I can't even see. I'm going to. Please hang with me, okay? Please hang with me. They were asked, the Bible said this is what he said. He laid in a temple at a gate called Beautiful. This gate was so beautiful, it was 75 feet high. It was made out of pure Corinthian brass. It was one of the beautiful wonders of the known world at that time. It was a beautiful sight to behold. But this man lay there in the shadow of that big gate. That big gate. He lay there in the shadow of that big gate. So know this, please. But he was waiting on something. He was waiting on something. And I know some of you are sitting here waiting. I wish I'm waiting on the pastor to get through so I can go to Mickey D's and so I can go to KFC and get me some chicken because my belly's telling my backbone that I'm getting a little bit hungry. Guess what? You're not going to receive a miracle from the Lord. You'll get some A number one chicken, but you won't get your miracle from the Lord. What does that mean? You understand? We'll never have another day like today. You can't recreate this. We can't go back and recreate last Sunday. It was an open window. You'll never have it again. But guess what? You'll never have another day like today. This is your day. Turn to somebody and say, this is my day. You see, I believe that those legs are going to start dancing. I believe that that back is going to get healed. I believe that you're going to dance every step this pastor dances. Amen. I believe that. So, he was there asking for alms from those who enter the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And the Bible said, and fixing his eyes on him, Peter and John came and they fixed their eyes on him. They fixed their eyes on him. There's something about casting your eyes on the Lord. They fixed their eyes on him. And Peter and John said, look at us. Look at us. Peter and John said, look at us. Look at us. Some of you here this morning, you need to take a look. Look at God. Look to God. He's your source. There's where your miracle is. Your miracle's not in the hand of a man. Your miracle is in God. Look at God. See, when I'm walking around, I'm engaging people. I want people to look at me. I don't want people to play with their pocketbooks and their phones and listen, look around and Lord Jesus, in 40 years, I've seen all kinds of things. Sometimes we got to deliberately take our eyes off of us and look at the Lord. Look at what God wants to do in your life. Focus. Everybody say focus. Because we live in a technological advanced age. It's hard for me to talk to kids. Is he in here? This will embarrass him. My own grandson. Because he's sitting there with an iPad. Jake. Earth to Jake. It's hard for people to focus because you're looking through a narrow lens. You're looking through the lens of your discouragement. You're looking through the lens of your hopelessness. You're looking for the lens through the lens of your anger and your frustration. You're looking through the lens, a narrow lens. But on the other side of that, there's hope. Look at me. They said, look at me. Wow, me. Wow, me, oh my. Who's seeing Peter and John? Said, look at me, they said. So he gave them his attention. I wonder this morning, after this sermon's over, who will even remember what this ministry sermon was about today? Now, Pastor, be kind now. I'm being kind. I know most people will. But if we're sitting there and we're thinking about, well, oh, these bills, how are we going to ever pay these bills? Oh, Lord, I know I'm here and I'm trying to do the right thing, but I don't see how I'm going to make it. Lord, I need that job. I need this and I need that. Lord, I just don't know if I can do it. But what we need to do is give our attention to the Lord. Give your attention to the Lord. Give your attention to the Lord. Everybody say attention. Have you ever, how many's ever been to school before and you heard the teacher say, pay attention, kids. Has anybody heard your teacher do that? How many's ever had your teacher come up to you? Pay attention. How many's ever had that happen before? Because she wants you to hear something. God wants you to listen to something today. God's got something for you. And it's about today, not about tomorrow. It's about today. We're quickly closing here. Focus. Keep your attention on the Lord. Keep your attention on the Lord. Can I tell you something? This is real. Can I be real? Roy, you've not said one time today, keep it real. So I'm going to be real. This happened. I was in a revival preaching many years ago, and I was preaching. And the power of the Lord was all over that room. The presence of the Lord was there. And people were being touched by the power and the presence of the Lord. But this is what happened. There was somebody so moved by the power and the presence of the Lord. This is what happened. And the person next to him was sitting there, and the altar invitation was given. And they were sitting there, and they was holding the pew, and tears were streaming down their face, hitting the pew that they were hanging on to. Conviction was all over them. The power of the Lord was moving their life. And they were that close. And you know what the person next to them did? They got up and walked out. Guess what that man did? He got up and followed them out. Because somebody wasn't paying attention. It's not just about you, my friend. It's about the person next to you that needs hope in your life. That needs hope. They need encouragement. They need life. They don't need death. They need life. This man was laying at the gate. And they said, look at us. And he gave them his attention. He gave them his attention. Because he was expecting to receive something from them. So he reached out. He reached out that little cup for alms. And that day when he came to the gate, that day when he was lame at the gate, he received something he wasn't expecting to receive. How many knows when you get Jesus, you get more than what you expected? I said, when you get Jesus, you get more than you expected. I received more than what I was looking for. Everybody say, more than what I'm looking for. Jody, is he more than what you were looking for? Rick, is he more than what you're looking for? Melody, is he more than you're looking for? The day that you trusted him, did you ever think it involved all your family? Look at this radical family from Hayside, Virginia, that loves Jesus. And you know what? You got a revival going on in your family. But the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. You know why I'm saying that? Because I'm expecting more than what I asked for. He's so much more than what I expected. If you had thought years ago when I stepped out and trusted the Lord that I'd be in the things that I'm in today, I'd say, I don't know what planet you're from. Because when I got the Lord, I got more than I asked for. When I got the Lord, Michelle, I got more than I asked for. Brian, when I got the Lord, I got more than I asked for. Bubby, when I got the Lord, I got more than I asked for. So expecting to receive something from him, they expected him to, them to put some coins in that cup. But Peter looked at him. You're Peter, right? Okay. You're Peter. Expecting to receive something, Peter walked up and said, silver and gold I don't have. I don't have what you thought you were looking for today. Some of you have been looking for a long time and you've not found it because you've been looking in the wrong places. Guess what? There's a high that you can find in Jesus you'll never find in anywhere else, friend. You won't find it in a bottle. You won't find it in a pill. You won't find it in a one-night stand. You won't find it in a bar. You won't find it, but you will find it when you find the Lord. You better get ready. You better have them shout. She's ready, buddy. I messed Brian up. He thinks I'm going to get him or something. I'm not going to do that, Brian. The Lord is. He's already got it, ain't right? He's already got it, my brother. Expecting. I came expecting today. God needs some people in this room who are expecting. Expecting. Everybody say expecting. Today is going to be different. Peter is probably saying, if you only knew what I knew, if you only knew who I knew, sir, if you only knew. Some of you just need to turn loose and have yourself a real good shout. Some of you need to turn loose and just start dancing. You crazy, Pastor. I am. Just get in line. People have been calling me crazy for years. Thank the Lord that you call me crazy. I'm in good company. His name is Yeshua. I'm in the company of my big brother. Wow. Silver and gold have I none. But what I have, do you know what you have today? Do you know what you have, Cindy? Yes. Do you know what you have, Lakin? You don't have some dead religion. You don't have something made up or thought up in the minds of men. You've got a living, powerful God. You got a God. You got a God that's bigger than the universe living in your spirit. His will, His purpose, His plan, His gifts are in you. And every day we get up, we say, well, how you doing? Well, I'm making it. Do you know what you have? We all go through stuff. We all go through stuff. I go through stuff. I'll be honest with you, if I be real, can I be real? I woke up this morning overwhelmed. Where's Sarah Beth? I woke up this morning overwhelmed with anxiety and fear. You said, what? You did that, Pastor? Yes. But we remember, greater is He that is in us than he that comes against us. Do you know what you have? Everybody say, I know what I have. Today, before you leave here, if you don't know what you have, God's going to invite you to come and find out what you have. And I don't believe we'll ever understand what we've got totally inside of us. I don't believe we'll ever understand it. But listen, through Peter, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, sir, but such as I have. They say, such as I have. This is what you got to do every day, friend. In the name of Jesus. They say, in the name of Jesus. You've been deputized. You've been authorized. You've been called, you've been summoned, Dakota, in the name of Jesus. You speak, you walk, you live, you talk, you exercise in the authority that God's given you in that name. We can stand today because of what's in that name. His name is above every name. There is no other name given. Such as I have. Closing. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Satan will have to flee. Who can tell what God will do? Who can tell what He's done for you? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. I wish somebody would help me. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I have the victory. Who can tell what God will do? Who can tell what He's done for you? In the mighty name of Jesus, I have the victory. Do you have victory this morning? If you do, get to your feet. Don't go anywhere. You're not free yet. And I don't want some of you to go because you're not free yet. We're going to have a baptism here in just a few minutes. We're not going to dismiss here. We're going to go up to the water and baptize this precious sister. And powerful things are going to happen. Powerful things are happening today. I love you. I interact with you. I know that I must get on some of your last nerves. But listen, I'm real. I'm who I am. I can't be somebody else. I tried that years ago. I tried that trying to be somebody else. But I can't do that. I can't be all something for you to make you happy. But whatever your situation is today, I don't have any silver and gold, sir. I know you were looking for something else. I know you're looking for happiness somewhere else, people. Answer this question. Did you find it in a bottle? No. Did you find it in a pill? But I see people every day stoned out of their mind, think they're going to find it. They're drowning their problems in a bottle or trying to escape to a pill. You'll never do it. You'll never do it. Amen, Jason? You'll never do it. All the wrong places. But you're in the right place today. And you're looking at the right place. You're looking in the right place. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Whoa. He grabbed him by the... Listen. He grabbed him. Peter grabbed him. And he lifted him. Guess what, the church? Guess what we've been called to do as a church? We've been called to lift people up. Not push them down. Lift them up. That's why this crazy outfit came into that prison. Such as I have, I don't have. But in the name of Jesus, rise up, friend, and walk. In the name of Jesus. Some of you today, God's reaching down farther than you can reach up. And he said, trust me. He grabbed him by his right hand. Listen carefully here. We're closing. He grabbed him by his right hand. Why did he grab his right hand? Oh, some of you are going to miss something right here. He grabbed him by his right hand. Why did he grab him by his right hand? Because that was his authority. He'd lost his authority. He'd lost his... God made us to rule and reign. He called us to be kings and priests and prophets. He gave us authority to reign and rule over dominions and powers. And in that name, we have that. But he grabbed him by his right hand and lifted him up. You know what? When I see God, always in my prayer, when I see the Lord, when I'm praying, when I see the Lord reaching to me, you know what he's reaching? He's reaching his right hand to me. He's reaching his right hand to me. God is reaching to you, friend. He's reaching to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Start walking in your purpose. Start walking in your destiny. Those feet were made for dancing. Do you know that, Rick? You know what happened when he raised up, when he raised up and walked, Sister Nadine? This is what happened. He had him a Holy Ghost party. You know what he did? You know what he did? He ran to the temple. He ran to the temple. Leaping. Leaping. He leaped to the temple. Guess what? He'd never leaped before. He'd never danced before. He'd never walked before. But for the first time in his life, he had something to dance about. You know what? Don't give the devil your dance. That dance belongs to the Lord. Some of you don't have any problem dancing in a nightclub. All kinds of crazy. All kinds of crazy music. Well, listen, God's got a praise for you to dance with. God's got a praise. Some of you all need to let go of your pride, and you need to start dancing because you got something to dance about. You got something to shout about. If Jesus lives in your heart, you're the richest man on this earth. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk today. I want you to sit back down. We're closing. Before we close, I want you to feel it this morning. I want you to feel it. Such as I have. I don't have silver and gold to give you. I don't have money. I don't have things to give you that way. But what I do have, I'm sharing with you today. And in the name above every name, I want you to rise up and I want you to walk. I want you to rise up from your seat right now. You that's in that seat, you know you need God today. You know you need something from the Lord. I'm going to ask you to rise up right now. I'm going to ask you to rise up from where you're at, and I want you to come. And there are going to be people here like Peter and John. There are going to be people here that have come waiting for this day, waiting for you. They've come looking too, just like you've come looking. We've come looking for that to happen. Billy, I've come looking for that to happen. I'm expecting it to happen. If you need a miracle from God, rise up right now. Rise up, come. Just come. If you need a miracle, rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus, rise up. In the name of Jesus, rise up. There are Peter and John's going to be waiting on you right here today. Yes, hallelujah. Somebody need to pray.
Rise up and walk.
If you need a miracle, rise up. Rise up. Rise up. Get up. Get up. Get up. If you need a miracle, get up. Come on. You'll never walk unless you get up. Come on.
Your feet were made to dance.
Come on. Rise up. You need a miracle. There are those sitting right here in this room right now. You need a miracle. Rise up. You're looking for it somewhere else, but it's only found in Jesus. Rise up, rise up. Come on.
Rise up, rise up.
Rise up, rise up right now. Rise up. Today is your day. Today is your day. Today is your day.